But anyway, Rod Hanafy is our guest every Wednesday. He's our expert on trucking road safety, and he joins us now. G'day, buddy.
G'day, mate. How are you?
Where are you camped up for the night?
In Hotel Kenworth at Cowra.
I know exactly where Cowra is. That's the site of the prison outbreak.
Yes, yes. The Japanese guard and a couple of other things as well, yes.
Yes, Cowra. It is between Bathurst and Young. Well, actually, it's closer to Young. It's only about an hour out of Young.
Yes.
Yeah. Anyway, Rod, interesting call yesterday. This is about getting your car license, not your truck license, but I've been dying to talk to you about it. You ready for this?
Ready.
A bloke called Billy rang me up, and he said 16 years ago, he went to go for his P plates, and he'd had a number of professional lessons from a professional instructor. So he turns up at the RMS, and he's got his test booked in. He's been booked up for a month, and it's cost him money, as it does. And the tester gets into the car. The car that poor old Billy was driving was his driving instructor's professional car. You with me so far?
Certainly am.
The driving instructor says, listen, before we move out into traffic, can you just clean off your windscreen? Can you put your wipers on and put some water on there? So Billy proceeds to do this, and unfortunately, the water reservoir had run out, and a little squirt went onto the windscreen, and then nothing. And the driving instructor said, well, we can't proceed because your windscreen's dirty. He said, you failed. And Billy said, well, hang on, no. He said, hang on, I'll run inside the office there, and I'll get a $3 bottle of water from your vending machine, and I'll put some water in. And the driving instructor said, nah, you should have prepared better. And you haven't prepared this car adequately to be used on the road, and so I'm failing you. Was that tough?
It was tough and unreasonable, considering it wasn't his car, and that he did offer to resolve the problem, or at least try to. Had he gone and got the water and put water in it and it still didn't work, okay, then technically, he is required to be in a vehicle that's roadworthy.
Now, I know you're doing this off the top of your head, but I just wanted to know your opinion, because the instructor said to Billy, this is according to Billy, the instructor said, nah, the thing is, you weren't prepared properly. Billy went on to tell me that his family came from Europe, were hungry now, and in Hungary, before you can get your peas, you not only have to pass a test and a road knowledge test and a practical test, but you also have to prove to the tester that you know how to change a tire, that you know what the tire pressure should be, that you know where the oil goes, and you know where the water goes. You have to be able to prove basic car maintenance before they give you your license. What do you think?
Mate, I know in Sweden the same. It is far more difficult to obtain your license. And, of course, their answer to that is that it provides a better quality of people on the road. And, look, there's always a balance, isn't there? You either have a lower entry level and it makes it easier for people, or you have a higher entry level so that costs more money in your training and testing, but you then provide a higher level of people that go out on the road. Now,
when you're going for your truck license, does the tester ask you or make sure that the windscreen water reservoir is full?
I don't know. I've never had one do that to me. And look, it's funny that you raise that issue, because what I wanted to talk about was driver training.
Go.
At the moment, there is quite a discussion on about how the system works and how effective it is. So it's that same balance. And even a fellow I spoke to the other day said that technically, this was a gentleman that took part in that Senate inquiry, he said they are virtually licensed testers. So they make sure that you can pass the licensed test, but they don't give you all that knowledge and all that experience so that when you turn up to somewhere with a license to drive a truck, that you can do all the other tasks that it includes, whether it's loading, whether it's doing your logbook, managing your fatigue, any of that. And I'd like to ask you listeners whether they believe that our training level now is not sufficient and that we are putting people out on the road without enough experience. But how do you balance that? Because if it's going to cost you $3,000, let's say, let's pick a figure. If it's going to cost you $3,000 to do more training as part of that license test to make sure that when you get that license, you can not only actually start the truck and drive it around the corner, but you can put a load on it and deliver that load.
All right, the question from Rod Hanafy, folks, is the current truck training sufficient or insufficient? That's your question, Rod?
It certainly is.
All right, let's ask the listeners and let's see what happens. Good on you, Rod. I'll let you put your head down and close your eyes. What time have you got to wake up?
Oh, mate, 7:30 and ring up and find out whether the dead-end road that I looked at and is supposed to be my delivery point is where I'm going, because I thought, I don't think so. I'll go to bed and sort that out in the morning.
Now, you know how last week we spoke to Ben Maguire?
Yep.
Is he being replaced? Is there a new chief executive of the Australian trucking industry or not? We heard yesterday someone said that they thought that he'd been replaced. Do you know if that's true or not?
No, he's not being replaced. He's been offered a commission in the Navy, is my understanding.
Oh, really?
He's been there about 3 years. It'll be 3 years he's been there, and he finishes in September. I was only talking to Ben earlier today. And, when he got the job, I'll be honest with you, mate, I actually applied for the job as the CEO of the ATA at the time. It's a fairly big leap and a fairly big ask, but I believe that they need someone there with a little bit more on-road experience.
I reckon you'd be brilliant. How do we get you there?
Mate, of course, it's up to the ATA to decide. And it's not just being a truck driver and having experience. You are running a large organisation that represents the industry. And look, I'll probably put in again because I would like to see
put
someone
in again. Put in
more
again.
Experience. Yep.
Put in again. I'll write you a reference.
Good on you, mate.
not that would help. Who is the chief executive of the Australian Trucking Association then?
Oh, well, at the moment you have two sides to it. So Ben is the employed CEO, but he is responsible to a board of, I think there used to be 27 members.
I don't want to talk to 27 members. When I want to talk to the boss of the ATA, I want to talk to one person. Who do I talk to now?
Well, the current gentleman is David Smith. He's from the livestock industry, and he's the chairman.
Okay.
And he's an elected representative.
So he's who I talk to now instead of Ben?
Yes. Oh, well, no, there's two of them there. Ben will get, when Ben leaves, they will be doing a search for a new CEO. And, of course, then you'll end up with somebody new, whoever that might be. David is the representative of the board.
All right, well, I'll find someone. I'll talk to Ben again next week, probably. Good on you, Rod. Rod Hanafy, our expert on truck safety and road safety. He's asking, is the current training for getting a truck license sufficient? Your thoughts, 133353 is the telephone number. Go to bed, Rod. Talk next Wednesday, buddy.
Safe travelling, Gore, mate. Take care.
See you, mate. We'll take a break. The Night Shift, Triple M.